excellent job today. I just let you know, I don't have a spot on my pants. Everybody, some people have been trying to take it off. But I just want you to know it's something that the pants came with. It has something to do, with skateboarding. And so, anyway, I don't want it to distract you. But now everybody wants to look. Yeah. So, I've had a couple of people all morning this morning say, you got something on your pants. So, just want you to, I guess I could get a back marker. But anyway, good to have you here. We finished the book of Hebrews last week. Well, I hope you got a lot out of it, though. It was a year and a half study, and I hope you got a lot out of it. I did. Usually those who are preparing into teaching, they're the ones who get the most out of it, are those who are preparing and teaching. And Rick, I'm sure now that you are filling in the role of life group leader, that you're getting a lot out of your studies as well. By the way, Rick is doing an excellent job. While Paul is on vacation, Rick is doing an excellent job with the Sunday school class. And I just want to say thank you for your study and your hard work and your preparation for that class. Yes, sir.
I'd like to say thank you for your leadership and recognizing those who push forward.
Yes. I'm good at delegating sometimes. And so anyway, it's encouraging. I shared this last week. We really don't grow. We can only grow to a certain point unless we start giving to other people. Unless we start living and imparting into the lives of other people, we're not really going to grow beyond a certain point. And I want to say again, Ron, wonderful breakfast that yesterday morning, by the way. Thank you. For those who came to our prayer breakfast, he did a great job, man. We had French toast and bacon and scrambled eggs, and it was good. But the fellowship was great. And I thank you, church, for being who you are. I grew up in a tradition where I didn't hear a lot about the Holy Spirit in the church that I was and the tradition that I grew up in. But when I became a pastor, when I became a minister, I figured that's probably something I need to figure out. And so we're going to begin looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in the next few weeks. And hopefully by doing this, you're going to be able to recognize what the Holy Spirit's doing in your own life, as well as perhaps recognize what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. And if we recognize those things, we can actually begin to work with Him and work in tandem with Him rather than working on our own strength and working under our own power. Let me ask you a question. If you had a job to do, and if you had the power of God working with you to accomplish that job, do you think that would get any better? Leaps and bounds. Leaps and bounds. It is impossible for me to do the job I do without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But I'm discovering in my personal life that the Holy Spirit not only wants to help me with my pastoral work, He wants to help me in my family life. And He wants to work with me in every aspect of my life. Every aspect. Not just when I'm doing ministry. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So, Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Actually, we're going to just start in Acts chapter 1. As we look at Acts, so Luke, you don't have to stand yet. Hold on. Let me do a little preface still. I thought I was ready. So this Acts doesn't tell you who is writing, but actually it's Luke who's writing. And we find that out because he says, I'm writing to you, Theophilus. I'm going to continue the letter I wrote to you. And if we look at the book of Luke, Luke is written to a man whose name is Theophilus. Okay? And so Luke is just kind of... So Luke, the Gospel of Luke, is teaching about and sharing about the life and message of Jesus Christ. Now, this letter is about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the apostles. Okay? And so it kind of picks up from the end of Luke. If you read the end of Luke, he talks about the ascension of Christ. At the end of 40 days, Jesus ascended. And as we pick up in Acts, again, he talks about the ascension of Christ. He kind of carries, at reminding him where he was coming from and where he's going to take him. So, if you would, I think we're ready now. If you would, stand with me and let's read together. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up after he had given orders through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Rick, I'm going to ask if you would pray for me. Lord, we pray for Pastor Brad that you would worship you, desire for us again to come through to us for our ears to be open, to hear the message of Pastor Brad. Amen. Thank you, Rick. You may be seated. Sorry. So we find in Jesus' life, especially from the time of his baptism until the end of his life, the only way he was able to accomplish the things he accomplished was through the power of the Holy Spirit. He was able to heal the blind, raise the dead, heal the sick, open deaf ears, because of the Holy Spirit working through him. Now Jesus, you would think that the Son of God would be able to do all of these things without the power of the Holy Spirit. But we find that it was only through the power of the Holy Spirit that he was able to accomplish the things he accomplished. The reason for that, one is that he wanted to make an example of himself as a human to reveal to us that we can do, and he told us, you can do anything I do and more. Right? But it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that that's going to be accomplished. And so we're going to talk about later on about yielding to the Holy Spirit, listening to him, and following him. But that's the reason Jesus was able to do what he did while walking this earth. How many of you would like to do some of the things Jesus did? Yeah. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? It's possible. Because Jesus said it was. But it's only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught his disciples to raise the dead, to pray for people and the infirmities be healed, And we've seen a lot of healing here in this church, physical healings. We've seen a lot of emotional healing take place in this church. We just spoke of Jack this morning. But that, you know, that's just the most recent. We've had others that were healed miraculously in this congregation. And it shouldn't amaze us, but it always amazes me. Lord, why do you have the ear of this church? What is it about us that you're willing to listen to? But God wants to do some marvelous things in our midst and through us. I want you to observe this passage of Scripture, at particularly verse 2 right now. It's talking about Jesus. He says, until the day he was taken up, talking about his ascension, after he had given orders through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Now here's the deal. You would think that the resurrected Son of God, the one who exuded the power of God, the creator of the universe, you would think after his resurrection that he would no longer need the Holy Spirit. You would think. I would think. But this passage says that before he was taken up, he has given orders to his disciples through whom?
Through the Holy Spirit.
Doesn't it just blow your mind? Doesn't it just boggle your mind? That even after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it was the Holy Spirit that infused him with the power to do what he did. Don't you think he could give orders to the disciples without the Holy Spirit? You would think. And you know what? That's what I think oftentimes, that I can do a lot of stuff without the Holy Spirit. But what if the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit is there to help us in every area of our life? What if? Thank you, Darcy. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit after his resurrection to give orders to the disciples, to give a message to the disciples, to instruct the disciples, how much more do I need the Holy Spirit to direct my life? Do you know that when I mess up, and I do at times, less frequently now than I used to. Praise the Lord. But do you know when I mess up, it's because I'm not following the Holy Spirit? I've discovered that I can't be the pastor that I need to be without the Holy Spirit. I've discovered that I can't be the counselor I need to be without the Holy Spirit. I've discovered that I can't be the preacher I need to be without the Holy Spirit. How many of you here were here about 4 or 5 weeks ago whenever the Holy Spirit wasn't helping me? You remember that? Yeah. Man, that was not good. That wasn't a good service, was it? Yeah, you can be honest. I mean, it was a good message. I mean, the message was good, but the Holy Spirit was not a part of that. Oftentimes I think, so I used to think when that happened, I would think, Lord, what's wrong with me? What happened? And then it got to the point the Lord wouldn't show me anything. Well, Lord, what we need to do different. So guess what I did after that service that Sunday morning? I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? And you know what he showed me? He showed me an area in my life that pride had seeped in, and I had to confess and repent of pride. But did you know that God's not going to support that? Did you know that the Holy Spirit's not going to support that? And he wasn't going to support me that day. Do you know how the Lord has a way of humbling people? He knows how to do it, doesn't he? Whew! I don't want to ever want to have that day again. So it's always good for a pastor to do a heart check. And I did that morning, but it wasn't revealed to me till afterwards. I wish it had been revealed to me before. I hope so. I just know that when the Holy Spirit's with me, I have a lot of freedom. And boy, I felt bound up that day. Felt really bound up. And I appreciate your love and your encouragement to me, even when I have those bad days. Thank you. But I also realize, you know what? I can't be the husband I need to be without the Holy Spirit. And I can't be the dad I need to be without the power of the Holy Spirit. When I'm doing a secular job, did you know that I can't do that job well without the power of the Holy Spirit? Did you know without the power of the Holy Spirit that I can get irritated pretty quick? Surprise! But with the power of the Holy Spirit, I can do things in a loving way. Isn't that weird? I can be the person that God created me to be when I have the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's in every area of our lives. Sometimes when you're having a bad day, you just can't run off and hide, can you? Boy, I wanted to hide that Sunday. Sometimes you just have to work it out. Just have to work it out. Now, the Holy Spirit was given to us for many reasons. We're not going to have time to go through all the reasons today, but in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about those things. So I want to ask you a question before I move on. What are some of the responsibilities that you have on a day-to-day basis that you can do without the Holy Spirit? So let me ask it another way. How many of the responsibilities that you have on a day-to-day basis that you do without the Holy Spirit? So have you ever invited him to guide you in your everyday work? Do you think he would? Do you think he wants to be a part of that? We're going to find that out. But not right now. You'll have to come back to another service for that. So, first thing I want to do is to look at the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of an unbeliever. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of unbelievers? Those who don't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So, in John 16, 7-11, says, nevertheless, telling you the truth. Jesus is like preparing for his exit from the earth. And he's preparing his disciples to be without him. He says, but nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It's for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you if I do not go. I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world. And that word can be translated convince or convict. He will convict or convince the world about sin. He will convict or convince the world about righteousness. And he will convince or convict the world of judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will no longer see me. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Did you know I don't think a person can come to know Christ without the conviction power of the Holy Spirit? I don't think that's possible. I think we have to be convicted of sin in our life before we can receive forgiveness for those sins. And you can only be forgiven if you acknowledge the sin and repent of it, confessing it. Okay. For many years, I did not want to recognize sin in my life. But that convicting power of the Holy Spirit was there. But I do remember this particular time, I went to see a movie that I should not go to see. And I sat through that movie. And man, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit was so heavy on me, I had to leave the movie halfway through. I went home, I fell on my knees, and I asked God to forgive me. And I received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. That was when my salvation occurred. Last week I talked to you a little bit about Billy Graham and his salvation experience. Man, I got it all messed up. So I'm going to correct it now. Billy Graham was a teenager, about 18 years old. And he had gone to a crusade where a fellow by the name of Mordecai Ham was preaching. And as he was sitting in the congregation, he fell under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but he didn't receive Christ that night. He and his friend, Grady Wilson, decided they'll go back the next night, but rather than sitting in front of the preacher, they decided to sit in the choir loft because the preacher kept pointing at them whenever he was talking about sinful behavior. So they decided to... Billy Graham and Grady Wilson decided to sit in the choir loft so that the preacher would not point his finger at them. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. At the end of the service, Grady Wilson and Billy Graham came out of the choir loft, and Billy Graham received Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Grady Wilson made a decision to serve the Lord full-time. In some kind of full-time ministry. God has a way of convicting us. And we need to be attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because when He convicts us, we need to be quick to repent and turn our hearts and our lives over to the Lord. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And Scripture says that the Holy Spirit's work in all the world is to convince and convict men of their sin. Of all the world. Everyone. Anyone that comes to your mind, the Holy Spirit is convicting them of sin in their life. They might not want to recognize it. They might say it's something else, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. It appears to me that there was a time when the Holy Spirit's convicting power was greater than it is today. It just doesn't seem like people are really concerned about their sinful behavior anymore. And just about anything goes. But did you know that God said that His Spirit will not always strive with men? That He will wrestle with them for a while, He will convict them, He will convince them, but if they continue to resist, then the Holy Spirit's going to like, okay, and I'll leave you alone. If I were to invite you to dinner, and you kept telling me, no, not tonight, I don't want to have dinner with you tonight, maybe another time, and I did that a dozen times, and you never took my offer to come to dinner, what do you think I would do? I'd just say, I'll get somebody else. I think that's what the Holy Spirit does too. Although He's at work in the hearts and lives of anyone you can imagine and think of, they are often resistant to what the work of the Holy Spirit is in their life. He also says, Scripture says, that the Holy Spirit has come to convict or convince people of righteousness. I want to talk to you a little bit about D.L. Moody, who was a great evangelist. About 1855. He's a boot salesman at his uncle's shoe shop. He'd been going to church, but he'd not made a decision to follow Christ. Mr. Kimball was his Sunday school teacher. And so one day Mr. Kimball says, you know what, I'm going to go talk to D.L. Moody, working in the shoe shop, about his relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is, I'm just reading an excerpt. He says, I was determined, using his own words, to speak to him about Christ and about his soul, and started down to Holton's boot store. When I was nearly there, I began to wonder whether I ought to go in just then during business hours. I thought my call might embarrass the boy. That was when I went away to the other clerks would ask who I was and taunt him with my efforts in trying to make him a good boy. In the meantime, I had passed the store, and discovering this, I determined to make a dash for it and have it over at once. I found him in the back part of the building wrapping up shoes. I went up to him at once, and putting my hand on his shoulder, I made what I felt afterwards was a very weak plea for Christ. I don't know just what words I used, nor could Mr. Moody tell. I simply told him of Christ's love for him and the love Christ wanted in return. That was all there was. It seemed the young man was just ready for the light and then broke upon him. And there in the back of that store in Boston, D.L. Moody gave himself and his life to Christ. 40 years later, D.L. Moody is talking about his conversion. He said, he has been a million times better to me, talking about Jesus, than I have been to him. I remember the morning on which I came out of my room after I had first trusted Christ. I thought the sun shone a good deal brighter than if ever had before. I thought that it was just smiling upon me, and as I walked out upon Boston Common and heard the birds singing in the trees, I thought they were all singing a song to me. You know, I fell in love with the birds. I never cared for them before. Seemed to me that I was in love with all creation. I had not a bitter feeling against any man, and I was ready to take all men to my heart. If a man has not the love of God shed abroad in his heart, he has not yet been regenerated. The righteousness, God, the Holy Spirit, convinces man of the righteousness of God and what is necessary in their own life. You know, I talk to a lot of people about their relationship with Christ, about their hope of heaven. I said, Do you have an assurance you're going to go to heaven? Yes, I have assurance. Well, what gives you that assurance? Well, I'm a good man. Did you know everybody thinks they're a good person? I have never once heard somebody say, man, I'm just a wreck and a horrible person, and you know, you don't want to have anything to do with me because I'm just a mess. I've never heard anybody say that. Everybody thinks they're a good person. So deep down inside, they know that there's this standard of righteousness that they have to meet. How do they know that? It's the Holy Spirit convicting them and convincing them of their need for righteousness. Scripture also says that the Holy Spirit, now this, we're talking about the world. Okay, we're talking about the world. You're part of that, of course. But as we're talking about the world, Scripture says also that the world is convinced or convicted that there is a judgment coming. Have you ever heard of Jonathan Edwards? So Jonathan Edwards is like, so I'm going way back in history, about 1755. He had a message that he preached in, I think it was Massachusetts, in Connecticut. And the title of this message was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It was one of those hellfire and brimstone messages. Now, Jonathan Edwards was like me. He didn't see very well. And so in order for him to preach his message, he had to hold it really close to his eyes like this and read his message. As he was reading his message, people fell in such conviction under their sin. History tells us that people were holding on to their pews in front of them to keep from falling into hell. Had nothing to do with delivery. Had everything to do with the Holy Spirit. Everything to do with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? How the depths that the Holy Spirit will go to bring a person out of hell into right relationship with Him. Isn't that amazing? Okay, we're going to close there. I had Renee put up about 10 points. We got through one. As we were sitting here today, it's very possible. And did you know that the Holy Spirit convicts Christians of sin as well? And we can either fight against Him or yield to Him. And as I was speaking today, that perhaps you fell under the power of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. There's one of two things you can do. You can resist it. Say, God, I'm okay. It's not that big a deal. I think I'll continue the path that I'm going. Or you can say, God, You're right. There are some things in my life that are not right with You. And today, I'm going to get those things right. Today, I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to repent. I'm going to be wholly Yours today, holding nothing back. Do you know if you do that, God is like, woohoo, you're forgiven. Woohoo! Enter into the joy of my kingdom. The Holy Spirit is working with you right now. He's working in you right now. Can you feel Him? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? But God's already made His choice, and He's choosing you. So what's your choice going to be? If you're here today without Christ, only thing you can do is beg for God's forgiveness and receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's not by good works, lest any man should boast. Father, I come before you today.